Time to shift our focus over to schools. The headline at The Advocate reads, debate on budget shifts to debate on future of Baton Rouge schools leader. We'll dive into the school's leader part later on, but right now, let's stick with the matter at hand. There's a special meeting, 5 p.m. this evening at the school board office. Joining us now to talk about this, school board member Nathan Rust. Welcome back, man. How are you?
Hey, good. Thank you, Brian, for having me back.
No, glad to have you on here. Glad to be talking about this. We don't talk education enough, and I know getting into the nitty-gritty sometimes might be like, you know, watching the sausage get made, but honestly, the results come from that, so let's dive in. The debate over the budget, special meeting tonight, why did it take carryover, just as a recap, why did it take carryover to a special meeting to get us there?
Yeah, I think our process for how we get our budget done is a bit antiquated.
Okay.
And was carried over from, let's say, how it's been done in the past, right? And arguments are heard, well, in the past, we did it this way and it worked fine. But we also weren't making 10, 20, $30 million swing decisions in the past in our budget, right? Mm-hmm. So we had some very, very big decisions to make this year in our budget. And our board wanted and deserved the time to make those considerations and decide what its priorities were. So we got to where we needed to go in the end, and we're making sure, you know, assuming that we can pass this budget tonight, that's been up for public consumption for about 15 days. That's part of the law that the legislature sets out. We got to have it available for the public to view for 15 days before we can vote on it. Assuming that passes tonight, we're getting it done before teachers come back mm-hmm. on the first, so we don't hopefully affect anybody's payroll and jobs and things of that nature. So,
and one of the problems here is you're never going to keep everybody happy.
Certainly
and
not.
Teachers are back tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, finding as much consensus as possible is absolutely vital. You mentioned a bunch of big decisions. What were a few of those big decisions? What were a few of those bigger priorities?
I think the biggest decision we had to make that kind of ran a lot of the conversation, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately because there was a lot of other things that needed attention, but the biggest draw was teacher compensation.
Yes.
Last year, there was a compensation study done by the district that kind of put a spotlight on the fact that we are dramatically underpaying our teachers compared to our peers. When I say our peers, like surrounding districts and surrounding parishes, people that we consider our competition for employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they recommended that eventually over a course of years that we up our teacher compensation by up to 12%, depending on where somebody's pay scale was. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of pressure this year to step up to that. Couldn't be done all at once. We don't have the money, right? But we knew we had to do something. We need to retain more employees. We need to attract more employees. And the decision was, you know, how much are we willing to spend and invest in our workforce?
Well, you mentioned the antiquated procedures. When it comes to paying teachers, being able to shift on the fly like that, part of those antiquated procedures handcuff y'all in the process.
A little bit. And what we are realizing and what we're going to do to shift the conversation this year is we're not waiting until May to start talking about our budget. In fact, we're going to start talking about our budget in September of this year. Because not only did we have hard decisions this year, but we're going to have much tougher decisions next year mm-hmm. when we lose about $60 million of ESSER II funding, which is that COVID relief money.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of one-time but also recurring expenditures in that revenue budget this year that we have to reabsorb back into our budget, not to mention we have to continue to figure out how to pay our teachers more money.
Well, sticking with that, though, because obviously teacher compensation is going to be number one, no matter what. There's only so much y'all can do. How much blowback do you get from teachers? Do they understand the process? And I'm trying to be demeaning, but like, sure. Do they understand that there's only so much y'all can do? The cards you're dealt, and you maximize what you can do with what's already there.
You know, I was surprised when we actually got feedback from teachers and other employees throughout the district.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they were more conservative and more concerned about the future of our district than other people might be. So I heard from a lot of teachers that would say that would ask to be more conservative with teacher pay than what we expected.
Really?
Because they want to maintain the health of the district and make sure that we're not insolvent. That's fair, and that's a great piece of feedback. But it depends on what teachers you're talking about. I also heard from teachers who were like, hey, I'm a single parent or I'm a working married parent, and we've got a lot of bills to pay just like everybody else.
Yeah.
And their pay has not stayed commensurate with inflation. So they're getting paid less every year that we don't pay them more.
Well, to be fair, nobody's pay has stayed commensurate with inflation. Yeah. So it's a tough sell,
yeah,
obviously. But, you know, at the same time, though, there is reality within that. We're talking with school board member Nathan Rust about the budget vote tonight. Within that, there is a finite pool of dollars and a number of students. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be a sliding scale of, and when you talk about the ones that we're looking at for the overall well-being of the district, there's got to be a sliding scale of however much bump or stipend or raise you give to X number of teachers is going to affect the number of teachers that are available. So is there some kind of metric that shows classroom size will play into it?
Yes. So we set out in the budget that we're going to vote on tonight, we set out essentially four priorities as a board. One of those was to maintain classroom size. Mm-hmm. So your average, there's a lot of different metrics to decide how many kids are in a classroom. But let's say we look at our average, like middle school, high school classroom, has been about 28 kids to one teacher. And we did not want to see that increase or change in a negative way, right? I'd always like to see classroom get smaller because that's a benefit to kids. But we made sure that we maintain that. Other priorities that we set in the budget was advancing literacy. So making sure that we maintained or increased investments in the literacy, increasing school safety. That's something that we actually put several million dollars into, because there needs to be a lot of investment into making our kids safer, making our teachers safer as well in their working environment, because they have a lot of challenges they're dealing with day to day. Outside of that, classroom size, and then as well, increasing school cleanliness, because that's a problem and a piece of feedback that we got across the board that we have to do a better job of janitorial and maintaining our campuses.
We're talking with school board member Nathan Rust. I want to stick on that school safety part a little bit. We've had Robert McGarner on before talking about a number of issues that need to be tackled within our schools. One of the problems is we're looking at a school system or school buildings that have been built over many, many, many decades.
Yeah.
And we've got solutions that are relatively new because we've got a problem that's relatively new as well. Just how much can y'all do to help retrofit what's out there that needs to be done?
Some of that in some of our campuses have already been done over the years as some different sites have been modernized. But we still realize that there was a bunch of schools where we needed perimeter fences, very basic safety measure, right? Single access control. So when you walk into the school, you're in a box and you can't go into the school grounds until they let you in, right? There are some schools that have that are older schools. There's some that are still missing that. So we did get a grant of about $500,000 from LDOE. Okay. They had some money to give out to all the districts throughout Louisiana. We got that money. That's going straight into what we consider a hardening of our campuses. And we also invested money into hiring more SROs and other infrastructure issues. And it's not something we're going to be able to do all in one year. But I think it's something that when you look at the board, there's a pretty clear consensus that everybody understands this is a problem that's been ignored, in my opinion, for decades. And we've got to put money into that.
We're talking with Nathan Rust from the school board about tonight's upcoming meeting and vote. So walk me through a little bit of tonight's meeting and how it plays out, because public input's already been out there and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Is this pretty standard? What's there is there?
I believe so. I mean, I think it'll be a pretty straightforward meeting. Most of our board members have had a lot of time to digest what's in this budget and what's going into it. I don't anticipate a lot of really specific board feedback, but we do have to go through the typical process. We're going to have to hear public comment. There could be a lot. There could be a little, depending on who shows up. There's usual suspects, and then there's sometimes more when you're talking about the budget. So we'll hear public comment, public feedback. Hopefully it's a efficient and short meeting and we get out of it without any major hiccups, but you never know.
And this kind of plays into it being efficient is teachers show up tomorrow. Like there's not a whole lot of time to rework anything at this point.
Not really. If we make the room that you have, there's a little bit of room where you can make some very small adjustments to the budget without having to put it back up for public consumption for that 15-day period. The size of that, I guess, is that thousands, not millions, if you have to make little tweaks administratively. But if somebody sat down and just threw a hand grenade and said, you know, I want to take $5 million out of this budget and do X, Y, Z, and got enough board support, we'd be back to square one. But right. I don't anticipate that happening.
Which is basically the equivalent of an NFL player holding out into the middle of preseason,
right,
or even the beginning of the regular season. So,
yeah.
Nathan Russ with the school board is our guest. I apologize. I take everything to a sports analogy. It just happens.
That's here. How it goes, right. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit. Oh, you know what? Before we move on to Superintendent Narcisse,
yeah.
Y'all on July 22nd had a board retreat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How effective, how productive was that?
So I would have liked to have more of our board members there. Some of that we couldn't prevent, right? We had a couple board members that already had travel planned. We couldn't do anything about that. But of the board members that were there, I think that we did have a great day and a great session. What I got out of it was some clarity about how we're going to move forward as a board, especially as we talk about our superintendent's contract. We have to decide what is going to be the criteria that we're going to measure our superintendent, regardless of who that is, whether that is Dr. Narcisse or whether that's anybody in the future. What we really realized and what I realized is there is a criteria that we measure a superintendent that is really, really poor. Okay, it's very subjective. It's very much based on this like 40 to 50 point subjective survey that each board member does. And it was very weighted on that process, but it was very soft. Like, hey, what do you think about their communication? What do you think about X, Y, Z? And those are important things for a board to do, to give feedback to their superintendent, but not to measure their performance by. So what we're going to hopefully do is come up with some very hard data and goal-driven points, mm-hmm, that we're going to ask our superintendent to execute on and judge his performance based on those, right? More so weighted in that you've got to produce results for this system, and that's what we're going to decide every year if you're performing your job.
We've got a couple minutes left with Nathan Russ from the school board about tonight's meeting on the budget and looking ahead to, the future of the superintendent's post here in town. Nathan, want to ask you about keeping your eyes on the ball for tonight. How much of the future discussion about Dr. Narcisse is actually in play because of tonight's discussions or tonight's vote?
I don't think that'll be a factor at all tonight. Obviously, getting a budget done is extremely important for the district to move forward operationally. Mm-hmm. But when you show up to a board meeting, you've got kind of some Robert's Rules of Order, right?
Yes.
You can't come and give public feedback on anything you want under the sun. You've got to stay germane to the topic. So if we're talking about a budget item, you got to talk about the budget. You don't get to talk about the superintendent's contract. But part of an agreement that we made as a board is that we would not move forward with talking about his contract or negotiating until this budget is done. So it's in everybody's best interest that we get this thing out of the way so we can move on to the next piece of business.
I guess where I'm going with this is the superintendent has plans as well, and those plans would have to be paid for. So how do those two things dovetail?
Yeah, I mean, the way that the budget works, if you don't pass a budget, by law, you can move forward with the previous year's budget, but only at a 50% rate.
Okay.
Right? Now, it doesn't affect salaries and things of that nature, but you go off the old salary schedule. So let's say we don't pass a budget. Everybody gets paid exactly what they were getting paid last year. No changes, exactly the same. Operationally, you only get to use 50% of your budget from the previous year. So if you got plans to go build this, hire somebody, do this contract, you got half the money until you have a budget in place.
And regardless of who priorities are put forward, funding at 50% isn't going to get anything done. So that's not ideal for anybody.
No.
Meeting's coming up, starts at 5 p.m. This evening at y'all's offices. I greatly appreciate a couple minutes in the insight into it. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, and if I can real quick.
Go for it.
I'm going to have another town hall coming up September 12th.
Okay.
Location TBD. I got to get that confirmed. Mm-hmm. But we had a town hall a few weeks ago, budget related. It's hard to get parents' attention over the summer. We did have some parents and some teachers show up and give us feedback. But on September, what we're going to want to hear about is parents and their children, their first 30 days of school. What was it like? The good, the bad, the ugly. Because we've got to start this conversation, bringing it to families, asking them for direct feedback about how we're going to spend next year's money.
He is school board member Nathan Russ. We'll have more follow-up on that as it gets closer. I appreciate the time this morning.
Thanks a lot.